Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who like to use a lot of words, yet say nothing at all. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. It is show number 509. On today's show, we're talking about just a couple of simple things here. We're talking about finishing with AC in the shop and our retirement. But before we get to that, I want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler has been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler is giving away a new product each month to one lucky Wood Talk listener. This month, they're giving away a Pack Rack Plus clamp and tool storage system, so you can wheel your clamps, tools, and supplies all across the shop with ease. This prize is valued at over $350. Enter for your chance to win before September 1st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
That's right, Mark. And if you want to help support the show, I almost nail it. Almost. You can do great. So. It's patreon.com/woodtalk, and you can sign up to become a patron of the show. We'd like to thank Jean Stefan and Terrace.
All right, thanks for that, Matt.
You're welcome, Mark. Have a great day. I'll see you later. Signing off now.
Did John Stefan add accents just to screw up, Matt? I don't know what you do with an accent.
No, look at him. You can see his picture. He looks European.
What you do with an accent over the O like that.
I did something.
You don't pronounce it. You just go, Jing.
Jing. I ran with it.
I have no idea. Don't ask me. Don't ask Matt. He can't even do regular English words.
That's true. That is true.
Me fail English? Yeah. That's impossible.
All right. So a quick announcement. We've talked about this before, but those t-shirts, those Wood Talk All-Star t-shirts are still available at twwstore.com. If you want to go check them out.
I'm wearing mine.
It's a great little shirt.
God, it's great. I'm really good at like, right? I think I wore it last time we recorded.
Oh, good timing. And too bad no one can see
it. Uniform.
Not a visual show. Structurally here, guys, I think we screwed something up. I'm going to pull that voicemail question. Because going right into a mid-roll right now doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
What?
So what do you say we get to Neil's question?
That's when you know, when we've truly given up on the show. We introduce Patreon, we roll into a mid-roll, and then good night, everybody.
No. We introduce Patreon, we try to get you to buy some merch, and then we go into a mid-roll.
Go into an ad.
Yeah, I mean,
jeez.
Yeah, the trifecta.
We're like NBC Olympic Network work here.
Just don't care anymore. Oh, good golly. All right, let's get to Neil's question.
Hey guys, this is Neil from Illinois, not to be confused with Roberto from Illinois. Although Roberto, if you're listening, we should hang out. It's a small state, right? My question is this. My lovely girlfriend is letting me have our entire garage, which is 20 foot by 30 foot, as a wood shop. So I'm in the process of wiring it up and insulating and doing all that jazz. I'm going to be putting a PTAC unit in for heating and air conditioning. So my question is there anything I need to worry about when finishing to avoid, well, blowing up with that kind of unit? Not quite sure if that's safe or if I should turn it off when I'm finishing. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for all you guys do and keep rocking.
Anybody have thoughts on this? I mean, I had to actually look it up because I remember knowing what that was
at
one time.
That's the thing you wear when you sleep, but I had to Google it, right? To help you breathe.
Yep. Yeah, you put that little mask on. Think of it like a commercial grade wall unit or a commercial grade window unit. If you've ever been to a, I don't know, like a small hotel, typically you're going to see that unit in the wall, on the exterior wall. So that really, it's kind of wide and usually on the ground.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anything, I mean, I can't say that I know for sure, but nothing jumps out at me. It just seems like a wall unit air conditioner. It's going to be pulling air in, blowing it out, may even help to some extent with exhausting, but I don't know in terms of like, is there something in the mechanism that makes it dangerous? And I don't think so.
I can't imagine. I mean, you wouldn't think that they would put them in hotel rooms if there was something inherently dangerous, because you can't control what people do in the hotel rooms, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like liability reasons. Let's go with the most stable thing we possibly can.
Let's stick something that causes things to blow up. People will be fine. What could go wrong?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean,
I can't say for sure. Anybody who's a HVAC expert, maybe you know more about this, but I just don't.
I mean, his question may be more the fact that he's running AC, so he's got the windows closed, right, to cool it most efficiently. So the more loaded question is, can I finish like without proper ventilation? And I don't think that's ever a good idea.
I don't think so either.
I know for me, because I have a window AC unit in my garage. I still have to be very careful about when I finish, because I want to at least open a window. I try to open the actual garage door to get the ultimate ventilation, but you know, if it's super hot and humid, the finish is just terrible. I get blushing in the finish. If it's really, really cold, it doesn't cure properly. So a lot of times I will specifically either put off finishing until I've got a good weather day, or I'll choose like water-based, really low VOC type finishes and, you know, do it quickly and get out of the shop.
Yeah. I wonder how those units work in terms of like turning over the air in the space. If that's something that happens, how long does it take? Cause I don't necessarily want to encourage him to count on it to, you know, get those fumes out of there. Obviously some other supplemental ventilation is probably a good idea, but I'm curious about the details on that. You know, I probably shouldn't have even put this question in there because
should clearly ask some don't people even have know. No idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, kickback, give us that kickback and we can actually give this guy a real answer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we tried. What are you going to do? You know what? I wanted to pull another question because it just still seems a little early to jump into that mid-roll. But I can't get into the Wood Talk email. Hold on.
I'm holding.
All right. So this is no preparation. We have a ton of emails. I'm just going to go in there and grab one. Okay. So this is from John Jones. He says, I have completed the desktop with the desktop intro. Okay. So finishing a standing desktop is what he's saying. I've completed the desktop with Brazilian cherry, stained the top, and applied two coats of semi-gloss poly to protect it. With the last coat of poly, the surface had a rough feel that I discovered was tiny bubbles. I sanded with 220 grit paper and applied another coat of poly and had the same result. How do I eliminate the bubbles and get a smooth surface? Help is appreciated. John. Well, what would you do with this, Matt, if you were getting the bubbles?
I was getting the bubbles. What kind of applicator is John using?
Yeah. Is he brushing it on?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's...
I feel like he would have said something if it was wiping. It probably is traditional.
That's why
brushing.
I don't really brush anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty easy to get bubbles with brushing. I would try wiping.
Yeah.
Not with the traditional poly, especially if it's like a really thick poly. Water-based, I don't mind brushing that much, but that's usually a lot thinner to begin with. But if we're just talking like real polyurethane, like straight out of the can,
it's thick.
First of all, I would always thin that final coat anyway, like by at least half. just to get it to lay down really nicely. But there's also every possibility that he's still got like artifact bubbles, like little craters left on the surface. I mean, if you got bubbles on a dried surface, 220 grit might not be enough. Like, you may have to get really serious to get to the bottom of those little craters that you've created. So if they're still tiny little craters, even if they feel flat, like if you were to like put a raking light on the surface, you may still see them. And I would think that you would actually get little, like if you, especially if you brush, but you would probably encourage those little bubbles to happen again. So it's either not enough finish prep to remove the bubbles, but most likely, I mean, to me, bubbles means bad brushing, or I say bad brushing, but you get the idea. Brushing in general with polyurethane, brushing, I think is
brushing
bad. You're bad at it.
Also, he didn't say how, you know, of course, didn't say how he's mixing it, but don't shake a can. Give it a good stir. You don't want to introduce any more air bubbles into the mix than you have to deal with.
Speak softly when you're also using it. Don't, no loud noises.
Yeah. Don't
do
get
not
too excited.
Taunt your polyurethane.
Also, John, consider the whole finishing the finish thing. So when you have your final coat on there, you can kind of abrade the surface with high grits. You could do a wet sanding, even just using like mineral spirits as a lubricant. And you can get those little dust nibs out of the surface, smooth it out a little bit. So it's just, you know, super, super smooth. And you don't have to necessarily get a perfect finish on your final coat. You could make it perfect with a little bit of post-processing. So there's
a
couple
ideas. I feel like we need a sound bite. Like the guy that does cup of slab. He needs to go rub it out.
Yeah, don't we have
rub
that?
Rub it out.
I feel like we should have that.
That's rub got a lot it of out. Uses. You could use that in everyday life.
You know, I think we have pinch it off. That's what it is, don't we?
We need to have that one.
Pinch it off! All right. Well, you know, Rockler is expanding their stores. We've talked about this a couple different times. They're excited to announce the opening of their brand new Kansas City store. You can find the new location in, it's, I have a pronunciation key here. That's very helpful. Thank you, Megan. Olathe, Kansas. You may be missing out if you haven't been to a Rockler store lately. You'll find a large number, lumber selection, top power tool brands and accessories, dust collection, router tables, T-Track hardware, and more. Rockler stores also host a variety of classes and events. Visit rockler.com to find a store near you or stop by the new Kansas City store if you're in the area. No matter which store you visit, you can count on Rockler for innovative products, expert advice, and exceptional customer service. Now, I missed out on another opportunity to go to my local Rockler because the other day I had gotten the wrong pins for the shutter project, and they make two different kinds. Different sizes depending on the size of the louvers, and I got the wrong ones. So I had to send John out to go pick them up from the local Rockler store. And instead of going, I stayed home and did something else. So I missed my chance.
How'd you get them in the first place? Did you order them online?
Yes, I did. And I, so look, I'm going like, I know the numbers tell me, oh, you're supposed to do a 9/16th hole. I'm popping these things in the hole and I'm going, that's too loose of a fit. This doesn't make any sense. I even went on Rockler's site, got on the chat with a person as I'm trying to figure this out. And I got to a point where I'm like, oh, dang it. I'm so stupid. So I'm like, I'm sorry to bother you. I this is totally my fault. I'm an idiot. Had the wrong pins. Mm-hmm. So we went and got the correct ones. And it's amazing how when you have the right bag of pins, they actually do fit correctly with the recommended hole size.
Go figure.
So, I'm stupid.
Well, and I learned I like something new because I've always called it Olathe, Kansas. Because I think that's like where Garmin is headquartered. Because every time I go into my Garmin app to track a bike or a run, it like automatically wants to drop me on Garmin headquarters. And I've always called it Olathe, Kansas. Olathe, Kansas. Learned something new today.
Olathe. Apparently.
Okay.
Yep. Good to know. All right. So what do we have here? We did the voicemail. We got...
We're really well organized today. This is good.
Oh, okay. I wonder why this is written Tim's here. Question. Because... Yeah, Shannon already wrote it in there. Good job.
Hey.
All right, Shannon, you want to read the question from Tim? This one's interesting. It's kind of not woodworking, but we thought it was interesting enough to talk about. So let's do it.
Tim says, I really enjoy the show. I have a not really woodworking question for you. Just because I'm nosy, I've got two hobbies in life, woodworking and personal finance. So I'm curious what the three of you have planned for retirement. I've heard Shannon reference his day job at the lumberyard as his retirement plan, but I know Mark and Matt are self-employed. financially, do you see yourselves being positioned to retire from woodworking slash content creation grind at some point? What does your ideal retirement look like? No woodworking? More woodworking? There's little emojis in there. No woodworking. Smiley or sad face. More woodworking. Oh my God! I think that's what that emoji is supposed to be. Like the little Edvard Munch scream emoji. Anyway, I'm a father of three young children and I have a rewarding career that I enjoy, but God, I can't wait until the day when I can walk away from it and never look back.
It sounds like he doesn't enjoy it,
career that I cannot wait to tell him.
I love this, but I also hate it.
The one thing I find myself missing in life is time. I'd like to say that I spend what little free time I have in the shop, but I often just find myself sitting and staring straight ahead, or worse yet, doom scrolling through my YouTube feed. In reality, I put a lot of effort into planning for retirement, when I will hopefully have time to actually do the things I want to do, like hang out in my shop. I realize finances can be a personal subject for some, so if this is none of my business, no hard feelings. But I'm going to sign off like everyone else by saying, thanks for not quitting. In my mind, quitting is the dream. Well done. Well done.
Interesting. Interesting perspective. Yeah. Well, it is a personal topic, of course. I don't think we're going to get too far into our, you know, monetary details, just in the sense of like
how
numbers.
Big is your 401k, Mark? What's your investment portfolio look like? Yeah. What percentage do you have in blue chip?
Okay.
And how much money is in blue chip?
Let's do it. But I do think it's kind of interesting as three people who have various like types. I mean, we're all talking about woodworking, but the way that we accomplish what we do is a little bit different. And our own personal investments in our businesses are a little bit different. And I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting because we're kind of three different sort of profile cases to look at. So who wants to go first? Who wants to spill the beans?
Well, he called me out. So because it is relatively simple. I mean, I don't want to say I don't have to work at the lumberyard. I quite enjoy working at the lumberyard. It certainly has its perks. It's nice to have that kind of commonality. But, you know, the income that I get from, you know, the hand tool school is, well, it's more than I make working at the lumberyard. The lumberyard is fantastic because I have an incredible healthcare plan. So that's like totally free money right there. But a great deal. I essentially max out my 401k contributions. There's a, you know, the federal government allows you to only contribute so much. I can't remember what the number is off the top of my head. It changes as you get older and it goes up year by year. But I max it out to the point where it just automatically stops deducting from my paycheck. So there's a substantial percentage of my paycheck every single week that just goes straight into 401k because I don't have to have the actual paycheck. You know, it's nice, but as I said, that's my retirement plan. What I do with the rest of that income is I end up investing it. I then take it and do additional, what are they called? What are those things called? Roth IRAs. That's what those things are called.
IRA.
Those things.
Yeah.
I do independent, retirement accounts. Isn't that what that stands for? And you know, maximize my tax, blanket. God, I can't think. My tax deferrals.
This is great.
Yeah, that stuff.
Oh man.
And then
I just love hearing Shannon.
Can we talk about masonry
next?
Yeah,
seriously, let's do that. And then what's left, I end up investing, like in the actual stock market itself. You know, I've got a Robinhood account that I love doing, and that's kind of like he says, like Tim says, it's kind of a hobby. It's kind of playing around with this stuff. You know, I'm not obviously, it's not like playing the slots. You know, I'm somewhat conservative. I don't want to lose a bunch of money, but it's my opportunity to play around with companies that I think could be interesting and work on it, building the nest egg that way. As far as like, what does it look like? I think there will be more woodworking. I think there absolutely would be more woodworking. I do think that, there's a lot of stuff that I have yet to do with the hand tool school that I just don't have the time to do because I'm working 40, 50 hours a week. There's a lot of things that will take me outside of my shop. There's things that I could do with travel and woodworking that I really, really want to do that when I have the time I plan to do. So in some ways, I think the content will probably kick it up a notch, like on the level of like what you guys do now, because that is your full-time job. Yeah. I also plan to retire quite early. I'm not going to wait till I'm 65. At 52 and a half, I can start drawing on a 401k without penalty. I don't think I'm going to do it then, because that's 6 years from now. But I don't plan on waiting to enjoy my retirement till I can't enjoy my retirement. So the official right. retirement will be pretty early, relatively soon, actually. And that's when they could, I can start living on 401k and my investments and actually focusing more on the actual woodworking side of things. But I do think it will come, it will become a little bit more personal and really get to focus on the stuff that I want to do. I'll probably take some classes too. So yeah, that's the plan.
That's cool though.
Oh yeah. And then I have like a wife who has a 401k as well and has her own investment account.
Sugar mama.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, those teachers, boy, they rake it in, especially private school teachers. Boy, she could probably double her salary by going to public school, but nope.
But John and I had a conversation about that today in the shop, about how some of the most important people to our society functioning are the least paid, and how stupid that is and awful that is.
And the sheer volume of hours that she works, especially since COVID, I mean, she's doubled her work. Yeah. She has to teach both remotely and in person, and no more money. So it's, she's definitely, she's not a sugar mama. She's more of a salty mama.
A healthy nut selection of nuts.
Grandma's ribbon candy mama.
Trail mix.
Oh, okay. Ribbon candy. Nothing like a hard candy from 20 grandma.
20-year-old ribbon
especially
candy.
Especially my grandmoms were always sugar-free because she was diabetic. Nice.
That's and it comes garbage. Out in one big lump. Like, and you have to use a hammer to break it free.
There's 14 of them connected to each other. Disgusting. Mm. You know, for me, I often wonder, what does retirement look like? What does retirement mean? Things really changed for me when I started to do this whole thing for a living and content production became part of the business. It sort of changed the game for me because it's not something I entirely loathe. There are aspects of content creation that I do.
Ringing endorsement.
I don't totally hate it. Well, you guys of all people, you two know what my things like what pushes my buttons when it comes to content production, dealing with the public in that way. But there are parts of it that I absolutely love and adore and would never really want to stop doing. So I don't really know exactly what retirement would look like for me. If I got to a point where I was like, okay, investments are panning out. We're now in a position where we have this nest egg. We can now go on cruise control. What happens then? And I'm kind of like in a similar boat to Shannon, where it's like, well, I might still just continue doing what I do because I love it.
Yeah.
And then the income may still come in as supplementary income to, you know, what's going on with the retirement stuff.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest challenge for what I do. I'm super fortunate to be doing something that I actually do truly enjoy. So what happens? I guess the only thing I could think is I just cut out the things I don't like. If there's some aspect of content production or woodworking that I don't enjoy, like let's say hypothetical, I love CNC. I just want to do CNC work, but I know it's not going to do well for my content, so I don't do it. Well, that would be the time where I'd go, screw it. Who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to build what I want to build with the tools I want to use and go down that path. And the funny, ironic thing about it is that may not necessarily even negatively impact things. But if it did, I wouldn't have to care about it. Right?
The ironic thing is you're going full circle because that's how we all started. Like find your tribe. Like I'm going to just do what I want to do. And the people will, you know, because I wasn't about making money. It wasn't about subscribers and income. It was just about showing off. Like my blog started with me just showing what I did. Like I forgot to take pictures of stuff that I built. So I thought if I blog about it, I'll remember to take pictures of it. So you're just going like full circle right back to what you want to do.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I don't think I could just disappear. I don't think I could just be like, well, I'm retired now. So guess I'll close that IG account. See ya.
Right.
You sell that thing.
I should. There you go.
Don't just close something. It. What kind of amateur are you?
Yeah. No, seriously. That's my retirement plan, is selling all my social accounts.
Yeah.
Anybody have Ted's woodworking?
Right.
But give that guy a call.
That brings up the other point. Like, you know, we just in the blip of time, you know, granted it's a long time in internet years, but in the blip of time that we've been doing this, so much has changed on the platforms. You know, YouTube is a big deal right now, but YouTube didn't exist when we started. And what's to say that, you know, in 10 years when I think to retire, YouTube will still be a thing. You know, Instagram has like outshone Twitter, outshone Facebook, but now there's this TikTok thing that's happening over here. What's that going to do to Instagram? So it's like, part of me, and this is kind of my philosophy on YouTube. Like I really dialed back on YouTube a while ago and realized I don't have the energy to play the game. I've got this full-time job going on. I've got a really good steady income from the hand tool school through my own, you know, sandbox that I can play in, knowing full well that if I played more of the YouTube game, it would do good things for me. I don't think it would be that hard to build a community seeing how long I've been doing this, but I just don't have the patience and the time to do it. Yeah. And part of me wonders, like, if I retire from the lumberyard and I have the time, will I even bother? You know, because what will it look like then? And then it's the fact of, do I even, you know, this is the true old man thing. Like times have changed and I just don't want to bother to keep up. So I'm just going to do what I've been doing, you know, and those that want to engage with me on the quote older platforms can, you know, can, but I'm, and that's kind of my idea with TikTok. It's like fingers in my ears, like, no, not interested.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there a point, I guess, where you have to, especially for people who are producing content in this way, where you have to be okay. And maybe that for me is retirement, where I have to be okay with actively allowing myself to become irrelevant.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? Where you're no longer part of the conversation. You don't have to be, but you got, you know, people who are about your age. Maybe they grew up with you. They've continued to follow you, but you're no longer the person who's making waves. You're just kind of doing your thing back in the corner. You got your people who watch what you do, and you're okay with that. You're okay with losing relevancy because it doesn't matter financially, let's say. But that is a tough part to swallow, though.
Too late for me.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, honestly, that's what a big part of with the weekly video thing that I'm doing right now is like, why after 15 years of doing this, for the first time in 15 years, am I going, I'm making weekly videos. Look at me. You know, it's like, well, because every video that I make is an investment in my relevancy. And the longer I can continue to do that, the longer the guild will thrive, the longer everything else that we do for a business will continue to work. So that's part of the strategy right now is to extend the amount of time that people give a crap about who we are. It's a tricky thing to manage. So Matt, we haven't talked to you much about this. What's retirement look like for you?
Chair kits, baby.
Well, that's actually part of it. So I don't think I'll ever
slab shutters.
Why not? I mean, just kits galore, kit everything. Everything's a kit. You don't have to do any. I'm going to put the lumber business out of business and just sell kits. Ready to
do
go.
It.
No one wants roughs on lumber anymore. They just want their kits ready to go.
That's 2020. Man. Past it.
You're not far off.
No, man.
So I don't think I will ever retire. And I don't think my retirement, well, I guess it won't look the same as what a traditional retirement would be. The thing for most people, when they retire, like, oh, okay, I was doing this one job for however many years. I worked in this industry for this many years. Now I shouldn't do that anymore. And I just like hang out and do crosswords. And knit or something. I don't know.
And golf.
And golf. Is that what? Is that the other thing? Maybe fishing or something like that?
Golfing, fishing.
Woodworking.
Woodworking. That's the funny thing.
You're already doing
woodworking.
What is ubiquitous with retirement, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the interesting thing on my side is like, well, I'm probably never going to actually like be just done. Like, I'm not going to work anymore. I think my interests will evolve and I'll continue to do things that maybe woodworking related or may not be. I think one of the more interesting goals I have for my future is to kind of shift from, you know, just solid self-employment to like business owner and then to investor. So I'd really like to spend, I'm still relatively young in the grand scheme of things, but at some point, I'm younger than you. So that's all I need. Say,
in comparison to my co-hosts, I'm still quite young.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, relatively speaking,
I'm much further away from traditional retirement age than you two are, for sure.
Oh, you son of a
sucker. Yeah. You'll realize that that's not a good thing one day, and you'll be like, man, I wish I was closer.
So I think the retirement as far as this conversation goes would be me just not really playing the game anymore. I'm like, I'm still probably going to produce content for the rest of my life. I'm just not going to care that this many people watch it, or I place these advertisers, or I do a video every certain amount of time, or I even do a video of something. Maybe I'll make a project and not even film it. That's how I will celebrate my retirement. But just
there you go.
Filming with like,
turn off the camera, not filming and build.
It and just enjoying it.
Just go as build it something. And not tell anyone.
Not tell anybody about it, not do anything, and just enjoy my own time to myself. That's my retirement.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think like one of the reasons that people succeed in the content creation thing is you have to like the content creation side. Like inherently, I enjoy editing video. Like I always have. When I was a kid, I had a VHS tape recorder and I wanted to make little movies. And to this day, Attack of the Killer Cheese Puffs is one of my finest pieces of work that I ever did.
It's my favorite, frankly.
Stop motion cheese puff animation. It was awesome. But you enjoy that actual part of it. So I like you guys said, it'll probably continue to make. I mean, there's so much more content that can be done. I mean, hand planing with a constant 2G acceleration on a spaceship on the way to Mars. You know, I mean, that's the future, there right? You go. What is everyone wants to see? What is woodworking look like on the surface of Mars? You know,
yeah.
Elon Musk wants to know. So maybe there's some content opportunities there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I like thinking about the investment thing.
That's
a long time ago. Pre-kids, Nicole and I had conversations about this, where it's headed and her starting to work for the business and how that was all going to go. It was pretty clear to me that the income from a business like this can be volatile. Things like the Guild help stabilize that. Shannon, you know, with the hand tool school, something like that can help to be money you can count on being there. But even that can still be volatile depending on how many sales you have, depending on how many pandemics occur.
Right.
Things like that can affect the business.
Depending upon your technical relevancy. I mean, I've got a redesign that I'm working on right now because parts of my site that I thought were really mobile friendly really aren't. And they need to be better because the percentage, I mean, it's always mobile has been a strong percentage of visitors anyway, but it's like almost exclusive now. And there's little things. And it's like, if I don't change that, people may like my content, but they're still not going to consume it. They're not going to sign up at the school because it's difficult to get access to it. So
you got to care about that.
You got to change that stuff.
Well, it was pretty clear to me, you know, the writing was on the wall that this was not something I could totally count on moving forward, especially once having kids. More traditional investing was going to be necessary for me to feel comfortable letting Nicole work for the business, getting my mom involved in the business, all these things. I just needed some sort of a safety net. And that's where traditional investments came in for us. I didn't, especially at the time when we started, I certainly didn't have enough knowledge to control this myself. So we did go to a financial advisor, started to put as much as we could afford to put into something like that. And I am investing in such a way that assumes that my income will stop at a certain point.
Right.
If it doesn't, great. If I can continue to work, if I can continue to make content, whatever it is, the machine keeps going, fantastic. But I am not assuming that is going to happen. So everything we've done with investments is making the assumption that the money will stop flowing and we will have to depend on that exclusively at some point. So that's kind of where our investment retirement goals are set. But we, you know, hopefully if all goes well and health is there and everything like that, you don't have to depend on it quite as much that way.
Right. No, that's absolutely the plan. And that's the beauty of it, right? Is you have those retirement calculators and they say, at what point will you stop making money? And that's the, what I love.
That's the difference though. Like when you retire from a traditional job, there goes your income.
Yeah.
What's weird about this is it's kind of like, even if you go into a semi-retirement mode, all that effort you put into creating passive income is still there.
Right.
It may start to diminish,
but slowly, it's gravy, but surely, if you at that point, baby, it's all gravy.
It's all gravy, baby. And
gravy the whole time. We're talking about.
It's been gravy. Look at Matt. He's covered in gravy.
From the kids.
No. I mean, literally, it's gravy that's on your show right now.
We just, just come see us after dinner time. Yeah. It's a mess.
So, Matt, again, I don't want to assume your comfort level on talking about this stuff, but if you do you have anything regarding the investment side of things for retirement?
So we have, it's sort of an interesting like dichotomy that
what's
we have
here. What's your password
here?
To your account? Yeah.
Tell us what's your password to your E-Trade account?
You should know. It's like basically, I love Mark.
I love Mark. Shannon's okay. Which is a whole sentence.
That's the two-factor side.
Right. So we have, obviously Lindsay has more of a traditional job of things. So like we get to play with that side of things. And then my side of things is like our more
sugar mama,
more lawyer. Risky side. So my retirement account is my business. I reinvest extremely heavily into my business and growing different aspects of it and trying to figure out ways to make it more of a business and less of a, just a job for me so that in the future I own a business. I don't own a job.
Yeah.
So does that mean employees are on the horizon?
I mean, everything I do is to
kids,
get it that way. And yes, the kids
are already made three of them.
The kids are there in the future for sure. But it's definitely something I'm trying to establish areas of the business where I can be fully away from and they still function.
Well, see, that's why I immediately went to employees.
Right.
It's like, as soon as you get to a point where you want to be out of the picture, but the business can still run, then there's bodies.
That's exactly. So it's finding for me right now, I'm in this interesting like phase of my business journey of finding the things that I can spin off as their own fully functional businesses that don't really need me.
Yeah.
Isn't
then screw that OnlyFans plan that you had to work.
Well, now I'm forgetting. I think it's JR. Isn't JR going to be like a famous Broadway composer or something? So
he wants to be, he's really into
Lin-Manuel money.
Lin-Manuel, yep.
Needs to stick with those piano lessons because I've seen the attitude and I don't think it's acceptable.
They're pretty rough right now.
Yeah.
He already gave
kids
up.
Are the worst.
He already quit.
I want this. I don't want this.
He had, I think, 6 free lessons. Like they give free lessons to the kids to get them interested in music. And he's like,
that's cool.
Nope.
So he didn't stick with it?
I'm like, you just turned 6. Actually, he was 5 when he did that. And he's like, nope. Okay. All right.
Nope.
Well, there's already. You got siblings, so we'll see.
Yeah.
See where they go with this.
That's cool. Yeah, this is a big question. I mean, if you guys have feedback on stuff like this, I'm curious, especially for people who are not on the content side of things. Maybe you're just, you're a woodworker just cranking away, getting projects done. You run that kind of a business. It's interesting to think about retirement plans in that sense because it's got to be difficult. You know, you got to have the money to invest. And then when, let's say your hands fail you, or something, you can't physically do the work anymore. What happens to your business and what happens to your family at that point? It's a lot to think about. I think the three of us definitely are anomalies in a way in what we have available to us in many ways in the types of businesses that we run that make them unique. Definitely non-traditional. And there are some challenges, but also advantages.
Piggybacking off of this, I don't think many people really understand this actual business that we're in. Like even the three of us have different kind of businesses, but like most people don't really understand the content.
It may look
business.
The same on the surface, but I do think all three of us tackle these things in a very different way. Like you're talking about, Matt, getting a business going that operates independently without you. You know how much interest I have in that?
All the interest.
Negative.
Yeah. It sounds fantastic. Interest. The end goal sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Like I want to get as much investment money.
I want my Scrooge McDuck pot of money.
I just want to be front loading as much coins as possible.
I'm over here thinking like get rid of the money as fast as possible, and you're over there right. Give me all the money right now.
Give it to me. Well, put it in me money bin.
I mean, at the same time, like Mark talks about employees, and I'm like, just shoot me. Like that's and I've had this conversation. Like I'll have people who in an effort to quote want to help, they'll offer me like business advice. And to be fair, like they're in a position to give business advice. Like they actually know what they're talking about. Not like the YouTube comments that like have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Usually
there's a lot of that too.
Those
usually they're like hand tool school members. Like a lot of times they've been a member for 6 years, 7 years. And you know, like, hey, I really want you to see successful. Have you thought about this, this, and this? And it's kind of like, Mark, when people used to say, Mark, when are you going to get your TV show? And you're like, yeah, like, shut up. Like,
just don't wish,
don't ever
on
talk
me.
To me again. You know, yeah. Yes, there are ways that I could gain larger market share. There are ways that I could grow my business much, much larger. I don't want it to be that way. Like, the revenue that I see from the business now is so much more than I ever thought it would be when I, you know, back when in the Blit TV days, that I can live on it, and I continue to see it grow year after year after year. If I grow it to a point, there is that critical mass where I will have to have employees. I will have to have a bunch of other stuff. I'm not interested at that point, you know? And one of the things that I discovered, especially when I moved out of the IT sector and moved into marketing exclusively, like, I made a lot of money when I was in the IT sector. Like, I was way too young to be making the amount of money I did because I spent it like a moron. But I quickly realized, like, I don't need to make that much money in order to live quite well and to be quite happy. So then it's like, suddenly your priorities change a lot. And, you know, it was at this point, not to get too personal, it was at this point then that Heather and I realized that kids weren't going to be an option for us. So it was like, okay, well, that totally changed the picture as far as what, you know, size of the nut that you need or whatever. And it was like, I became very content in the business that I'm in with the Hand Tool School, that it's doing quite well. And if I can keep kind of this mass going, maybe grow it 10%, 20% or whatever, I'm fine. But the minute I get so big and cumbersome that I got to start to have employees and outsource a bunch of other stuff and kind of lose control over all the little aspects I like I enjoy website design. I get some help on certain things, but like the majority of the architecture that I do for the site, I'm doing it. And bringing in some help for a little bit of code here and there. And that's the way I want to keep it. I don't really want to, you know, grow it to the point where I need all this other stuff.
Interesting.
I don't know what the point to all that was.
I was waiting for it.
No, I think, well, you're contrasting, you know, the two different approaches that Matt and I have. And I kind of feel, I do like the idea of a few employees, but there is a limit for me. At a certain point, this just becomes a business. And then to me, which is weird, it's the opposite of Matt. He's trying to avoid it becoming a job. But for me, having employees, that many employees or even more than I currently have, makes it feel more like a job. Now I'm very responsible for their schedules, for everything they're doing. That's not as fun for me. There's definitely an upper limit.
I think there's that period for a bit, but once the business grows to a point where you have a person that does that.
Yeah, it's true. My boss
worries about the employees.
Yeah,
my boss is
someone else's job is to worry about that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, you get to a point like Gib McIlvaine, the actual owner of J. Gibson McIlvaine. He's been in Vail for 3 months now. Nice. And doing. And granted, he's, you know, of retirement age anyway. But yeah, you get to a point where he shows up, comes into the office. He's still a, you know, valued member of the team, but at the same time, he calls himself like chairman of skiing. That's, you know, the business is running without him, and he'll occasionally call in and him. So I think you can get to that point.
So let me ask you this, and maybe more for Matt. Have you ever thought about investing in something outside of woodworking? Early on, one of the things I was thinking about is the some sort of diversification, and I'm talking about just investments and, you know, purely like IRA stuff like that, but like, have some aspect of the business that has nothing to do with woodworking. It is just a completely separate thing that you can kind of nurture on the side that can be its own entity later on.
Yes. It's hard to figure out what that would be. The next kind of phase of where I want to go, because I really enjoy business. I really enjoy like the early stages, startup phases of it. Coming from that background anyway, I guess the boots on the ground person. That's what I did in my last job. Mm-hmm. And I got to kind of live that experience of, okay, they have investors that come in and they have the knowledge and the information. And then you have the people that execute the plans. So I really want to move to the investor side, but that's obviously going to take cash.
Yeah, sure.
But I think that's what I would be doing in my retirement, is doing more of those things. Being an actual early investor in whatever business, someone else comes up with this awesome idea. I just happen to have the money. It is Shark Tank.
Matt's going to be the angel investor guy.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I want to do in retirement, be an angel investor. Yeah.
That's cool, though. That sounds fun.
I think it sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you get, well, if you are doing that, then that means you have a crap load of money. So yeah, that sounds, real fun.
Wait, you hope it comes back though. That's the thing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the gamble of it.
But you get to be more involved in it. Instead of just like investing in a portfolio, you're investing in the actual thing and you're actually participating in the growth of that business.
Well, and then you get to say things like, and for those reasons, I'm going to pass.
I'm going to pass.
That's a shark culture.
But honestly, that's how I treat my online investment accounts. That's the fun part of it. I mean, I'm still investing in a company, but I enjoy like researching the company and finding companies that I believe in. And this is a cool idea. And you better believe I bought Peloton stock when it went public, you know?
Yeah,
but,
boy.
But stuff like that, you know, it was I enjoyed that research side and being able to kind of say I own a part of that company and I've helped that company. And I know that I haven't, but still. Feel like
a little bit.
I know that I haven't.
There's a percentage that could be attributed to you.
There's a percentage.
Very low, but it's there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I don't know how many people enjoyed this, but it was fun for us. So and hopefully maybe answer Tim's question.
So that's like retirement. The retirement episode.
It's not something we have ever talked about before, which is kind of interesting too, as many shows as we've done.
Well, I mean, the one thing we're not
even
talking
to each other about this either.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Not really. I don't think so.
I do think it goes without saying that we'll continue doing Wood Talk though. When we've retired from everything else, we'll still do Wood Talk.
Well, that's all you know. We just keep doing it.
That's what we'll do in retirement.
We're gonna be old.
Show 5,800.
Longest running woodworking podcast though. I mean, we didn't run continuously, skipped a year, but still.
On today's show, we're talking about why the music's so loud, flaming so poop loud bags, and those damn kids. Every episode's going to be titled Those Damn Kids, Part 3, Part 7.
Yeah, it'll be the same segment every show, Those Damn Kids. Good stuff. All right, well, I think that does it for us today. Remember that we are proudly sponsored by Rockler, family-owned since 1954. Rockler is your go-to source for high-quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rockler has everything you need to make your next project a success. Visit rockler.com for a store near you, or use the code WOODTALK, it's all one word, online to receive free shipping on most orders over $39. And remember to head to rockler.com/woodtalk to enter for your chance to win a Pack Rack Plus clamp and tool storage system.
Go Rockler!
Woo! Hey!
Questions?
Nope.
Go to woodtalkshow.com. Leave them there. Or email us, woodtalkshow@gmail.com. Or Instagram, woodtalkshow. Thanks, Margaret. Thanks, Nick. See you, bye.
Get off my lawn.
Perfect ending.
That's what I was going for, man. I appreciate you picking that up.
You're so over it.
I hiked my pants way up high when I did that. It's great.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will catch you next time.
Get bye. Off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.